So, Heike Schnadi Schiffbau. Schön, dich zu sehen. Hare Krishna, I wish you a very nice morning. We will start now. Balarama, are you sure? I'm sounding a little bit like from the plutonic planet, so far away. There's so much echo. Jaya Radha Madhava. Actually, my dear devotees, why don't we do something special? Today I want to tell you how Prabhupada introduced the song Jaya Radha Madhava, and then with some background I thought to sing it to you. Is this a good idea? It was in February 1971 when Prabhupada gave a class. It was in Gorakhpur on the 17th of February. He had just completed singing Jaya Radha Madhava. And he said, as we sang this song, Jaya Radha Madhava, Kunya Bihari, Krishna is enjoying in Vrindavan. That is the real picture of God. Simply enjoying. Bhaktaram Yagya Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. I'm the proprietor of all planets and I'm the supreme enjoyer. That is the real picture of God. The Vrindavan Leela of Krishna is the perfect presentation of the supreme personality of Godhead. He's simply enjoying. And all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis, the cowherd boys, Maharaj Nanda, Yashoda, everyone is simply anxious how to make Krishna happy. They have no other business. So Prabhupada continues to talk, and then the next morning he again sang Jaya Radha Madhava, and then the third morning he again led the devotees in chanting Jaya Radha Madhava. But then something special happened. Prabhupada began to speak Radha Madhava have their eternal loving pastimes in the groves of Vrindavan. And then he suddenly stopped speaking. His eyes flooded with tears. And he began gently rocking his head like this. His body trembled. Several minutes passed and everyone in the room remained completely silent. Do you notice even now when you hear about it, you're completely silent. Even you are completely silent. Because I think when we see this genuine Krishna consciousness, which manifests in ecstatic symptoms, we can only become completely silent. So he had stopped speaking, his eyes were flooded with tears, not just a little. Sometimes we hear these ecstatic tears, they are so much that they come as if they are sprinkled by a syringe, you know, eine Spritze. And he began gently rocking his head like this. His body trembled. Several minutes passed and everyone in the room remained completely silent. Finally, Prabhupada then returned to external consciousness and he told the devotees, now just chant Hare Krishna. He always did this because we were so... So, you know, what else could we do, you know? But it was there was a moment those who have been with Prabhupada falling into these ecstatic states of Krishna consciousness, they knew. Yes. Mm. So I wanted to talk a little bit about this song today, but let us now first sing Jai Radha Madhava. And maybe we can sing while we are aware of the meaning of the song. We glorify Radha Madhava, and they have their loving pastimes in Vrindavan. Gopi Jana Vallabha, the Lord pleases the gopis and the gopis him. Girivara Dhari, he lifts the Govardhan hill just to protect his devotees from the rain floods which Indra has sent. Yashoda Nandana, he's the beautiful son of Yashoda, who looks in his mouth and says, "Let me see if your teeth are coming." Yashoda Nandana. Braja Jana Ranjana, and he goes and pleases the residents of Braj. And then Yamuna Tira Vanachari, he walks on the banks of the river Yamuna. He's the carefree prince of Vrindavan. He just walks around, no work to do. He just enjoys. Jaya Radha Madhava Gunya Vihara Jaya Radha Madhava Gunya Vihara Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari
Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari
Oh Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari
Gopi Jana
Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Yamuna Tira
Jaya Radha Madhava Gunya Vihari
Jaya Radha Madhava
Jaya Prabhu Kaya 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 Jaya Gauranitai Jaya Gauranitai Jaya Gauranitai Jaya Gauranitai Jaya Radha Madanmohan Radha Madanmohan Radha Madanmohan Sri Radhe Jaya Radha Madanmohan Radha Madanmohan Radha Madanmohan Sri Radhe
Jai Sri Radhe Shyam. Yes, one moment, please. Just keep it for a moment. Just trying to find something for you. Yes. Yeah. Krishna, 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 Krishna. So, thank you very much. Your name again? Vibhav Krishna. Vibhav Krishna Prabhu. Good. Oops. My dear devotees, now I don't know what to do. I gave the wrong verse to be written down. 8:1:17, yes, I remember I said this, and it's not the verse. Krishna. No, it could be 8:3:17. Let me just find out. I will make one more attempt here. Yes, I'm very sorry. It is my mistake. I'm very sorry, but mistakes do happen, especially in the human form of life. Not a devata. What to do now? Yes. Oh, yes. Why don't we do like this? You are mobile people. We will chat very briefly. It's 8:3:17. Please excuse me, I made a mistake. Om. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. We will just quickly chant, no? Please repeat, even those who have no phones, it's possible for you to repeat. Madrik. Prapanapashu Asha Vimokshanaya Muktaya Muri Karunaya Namolayaya Svangshena Sarvatanu Brinmanasi Pratita Radya Drishe Bhagavate Mrihate Namaste. Translation. This is spoken by Gajendra. You might remember Gajendra turned to Krishna when he was in the most dangerous situation in his life. He had taken a bath in a lake and a crocodile of mighty dimension was huge, attacked him and pulled him into the deeper water to kill him. And at that time, Gajendra remembered his previous life. He was woken up by a shock and he remembered his previous life. And he remembered also a prayer to Krishna. Now, I think many devotees who come to Krishna consciousness, they often have a similar experience. They go through their life and then they meet Krishna consciousness, and although it is so different, no? So the devotees dress different, the devotees speak different, they do things like bowing down to a tulsi plant. I remember when I first came, this was the most difficult thing for me to understand. And they pay obeisance to each other. So although this is so different from anything they have seen and practiced, it feels strangely familiar. They say like this. It feels as if I know this. It feels familiar. And there is nothing in their life that can justify such a perception. It's very, very different from what they have seen. Yet they feel, I know this. It's familiar. I also have seen this as a preacher. Many times people look at me and they ask, do we know each other? And I say, well, not in this life, but maybe in a previous life. I mean, if you are so sure that we know each other, maybe there is some past life playing into your or remembrance. I have seen this in with a few disciples of mine, very few. So this remembrance of a past life is sometimes there. We feel attracted to people, and we don't know why. It could be past life. In Gajendra's case, it was 100% a past life. He remembered all of a sudden, although he was in the elephant body, a Sanskrit prayer, which he had chanted very regularly in his previous life. Beautiful, no? I think those of us who are like to go to things like Kirtan Melas, they chant so much, I think there's a good chance that in the next life, if they take birth again at all, they will remember Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. I have a god brother who suffers from a severe case of dementia. You know, that's when you forget everything. But he's absolutely joyful. He says, now I only remember three names, Hare, Krishna, and Rama. And that's all I really need. You know, so when you do something repeatedly, like chanting, he's a god brother who chanted very regularly, more rounds than the prescribed number, and then this stays with you. It sticks with you in this life and the lives to come. Yes. So here he now says this prayer. I will say it in English immediately because we have to stop at 9 o'clock latest. Since an animal such as I has surrendered unto you, who are supremely liberated, certainly you will release me from this dangerous position. He had no doubt, I'm surrendering to you. You will absolutely deliver me. Indeed, because you are extremely merciful, you incessantly try to deliver me. By your partial feature as Paramatma, you are situated in the hearts of all embodied beings. You are celebrated as direct transcendental knowledge, and you are unlimited. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's Krishna in the heart, and Gajendra says, in this form, you constantly try to deliver me. Now this is very, very interesting. Krishna is there in the heart of all of us, and he constantly tries to deliver us by giving us inspirations. Prabhupada says a little later in the purport, practically everyone is a pashu, an animal, and everyone is attacked by the crocodile of material existence. Not only the king of the elephants, but everyone of us is being attacked by the crocodile and is suffering the consequences. Ashok Krishna, think about this. You are attacked by the crocodile of material existence. Wow. Frank, da ist ein Krokodil in deinem Leben. There's a crocodile in your life. It is the crocodile of Maya, of course. No, it is constantly attacking us. Vibhav, there's a crocodile constantly is attacking you. Can you see it? Vibhav is looking towards, what is your name? Ritvik. Rudvik, wonderful. Rudvik, he's looking to Rudvik. Rudvik, do you see the crocodile attacking you? Yeah. No. But what we can see very clearly is that sometimes we are suffering, no? Even little boys I hear are sometimes suffering. And that's because you are, it's a metaphor, you know, it's a picture made by speech. It is, of course, not a crocodile like that, but it's Maya, the material energy. Only Krishna can deliver us from this material existence. Everyone, only Krishna. Indeed, he is always trying to deliver us. Ishvara Sava Bhutanam Ridesh Arjuna Tishtati. He is within our hearts and is not at all inattentive. He's always there watching you, Vibhav and Rudvik. Yeah. He's always there, wants to help you. His only aim is to deliver us from material life. It is not, now comes an allusion which Prabhupada addresses. It's not that he becomes attentive to us only when we offer prayers to him. No. Even before we offer our prayers, he incessantly tries to deliver us. He's never lazy in regard to our deliverance. Therefore, this verse says, Bhuri Karunaya Namolayaya. It is the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord that he always tries to bring us back home, back to Godhead. God is liberated and he tries to make us liberated. But although he's constantly trying, we refuse to accept his instructions. We refuse. No. I don't want. And nonetheless, he has not become angry. Therefore, he is described here as Bhuri Karunaya, unlimitedly merciful in delivering us from this miserable material condition of life and taking us back home, back to Godhead. Please join me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Arimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Mithinami Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vajanine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Askadhyane Sadharine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gauravinda Hare attention to this love of Krishna which he has towards his devotees in this world. There is an amazing book in the Vaishnava library. It is written by one Narahari Chakravarti Thakur, who lived at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he wrote a book about the future times which were going to happen in the future. He wrote about our time, and because he was a great devotee, he could see into our time. And he said, in this Kali Yuga, there will be a few confusions amongst the devotees. He said, this is how to deal with it. He spoke about really controversial subjects, those of you who like negative things and think about negative things, here is something about gurus falling down and how to deal with this. How do we do this? He spoke about philosophical errors or mistakes that would happen in this Kali Yuga, about the position of Radharani, for instance. And he said, although she is not mentioned so often in the Bhagavatam, we should know the reason that is because this is the most confidential pastime of Krishna, but we should know the female counterpart which everyone worships in this world, that comes from Radha. Who is the female counterpart of God whom everyone worships in this world? Lakshmi, no? Everyone is interested in money, no? You are not interested in money? Rudvik is. But no one is interested in Radha. They are more interested in the Lakshmi who can fulfill, who is known to fulfill material desires. No? In Hindu posters you see Lakshmi, and next to her is an elephant, and from his trunk come rains money down. You must have seen, no? Have been in India. So Lakshmi is worshipped more than Radha. He spoke about all these things which will be misunderstood. And then he spoke about one thing that is shocking. Wow. Listen, those who like controversial things and like to gossip, here is something. He spoke about love. He said, let me love Lord Chaitanya, let me pose my love at the lotus feet of Krishna, and then let me also love myself. What? Love myself? Maya. No? Let me love myself so that I can develop love for Krishna. This is a part in our philosophy which is not so often mentioned, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says we should love ourselves, because he makes another point. Why are we lovable? Because we are inclined. We give our best. We try to serve Krishna. No? And I always think about this. I have been so much. I was always thinking, I'm my own worst enemy. No? The Prabhupada has one time said, who is the greatest enemy of the devotee? He was asked, who is the greatest enemy of the devotees? And then he answered, he himself is his greatest enemy. Therefore, stop being a nonsense and be your own enemy. So yes, with this, from this perspective, there are parts in us which are, just attracted to Maya and who are not so lovable. But there is also a part in us who is inclined to Krishna. And this is the deepest part in us. That's the real part in us. All of you devotees, you have many aspects to your personality. So I know you, I am preaching to you. I see you when you come to my room and you tell me what is going on in your life. I know there are some aspects which you are not happy about in you. But the main aspect is lovable because the main aspect wants to serve Krishna. No? Do you follow me? That's why you stay here. That's why with all your the things which you may not appreciate in Krishna consciousness, I hear there are always things which don't go 100% nice, but you are still a devotee. That means you are lovable. You want to develop your love for Krishna. You are trying your best. Yes, there is an aspect which likes, I don't know, maybe some sense enjoyment or maybe some this or that, you know. But the main aspect, the main Atma, wants Krishna. No? So let me also love myself. How far will you come if you always treat yourself like an enemy? There is an interesting, in my new book, there's an interesting page. It's meant for outreach people, so I'm quoting. And God said, love your enemy. And I decided to obey and loved myself. You get further in life if you don't constantly hate yourself. You know, how far will you go? And this is not all right, and meditating about this, all right. Why not meditate about, I'm trying to become Krishna conscious. Let me support myself. Let me take care a little bit that the circumstances are good so that I can develop this. Yes, we don't need to love those parts which are keeping us in Maya, but we can, whatever is good in your soul, in yourself, that you should love. Because Krishna loves you. Did you notice? It's not that Krishna is only trying to deliver you when you pray to him. No. Krishna loves you like you are and wants to constantly help you to advance in Krishna consciousness, constantly. Krishna cannot do anything else than love. He is a loving God, just like the sun cannot have any darkness to itself, you know, the sun itself. In the same way, Krishna loves and loves and loves. And only love comes from him. He is a loving God. And therefore, he is not at all inattentive to you. I would like to give, can I give you a little example from devotion, from my own devotional life? Yes? No?
Yes.
Good. I was, you know, I had to work, I mean, work. Why do I say work? Yeah, but it is almost like work. I have written my book 7 times. I've gone through it. Ashok Krishna will know when you write a book, you go again and again through it and you see this is not good, this has to be improved and so on. And it's becoming really, really hard for me. I have to, so much concentration and so on. And I'm a simple person. I ran away from school. I'm not an academic person and so on. But I feel I have to offer this to Srila Prabhupada. It's my hardest, my greatest surrender, so to say. Now, therefore, I'm also now a little tired. And this morning, I did not, first of all, I did not think yesterday that I have been requested to give the lecture. So and then I heard yesterday that this is my chance, another chance to try to inspire you. And I thought I will speak a little personal this morning to you. So but then in the morning I was still so tired and I have to chant my rounds and everything. And I thought, oh no, I want to sleep, you know, now it's, and then I have to go to Vrindavan, and then I'm so exhausted. And sometimes when you are tired, the only medicine is sleep. So, but then, I said, let me go to the bathroom and at least brush my teeth so that I can take my early morning medicine. And then in the bathroom, I felt inside the heart a voice. No, you, maybe some devotees will come who have not come before. Maybe some disciples will finally have the desire to come and listen to something. So let me try to serve them. Let me speak to them about Krishna consciousness. And I said, no one is interested anyways in Krishna. You know that by now. No. So the other voice went against this. No, I don't. Let me now take care of my own self. Not always surrender. But then the other voice was, and I knew it came from Srila Prabhupada and from the super soul in the heart. Then I said, okay, I will just ask Krishna consciousness, not about others. It's about my relationship to Krishna. Let me do this. Then I said, let me read something. And then I read this one thing. And you can see, this is Paramatma. We, Prabhupada is speaking, we have to give protection to any person who's even a little bit inclined to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We shall give all help, all assistance to such persons. That is our business. Wow, I thought, wow, yes, Prabhupada. Not sleeping. Oh, not sleeping business. Not lazying business. Oh my God. I'm happy that I listened to this voice. We should always be active. My Guru Maharaj used to say, one who has life will preach. Then I thought, yes, Prabhupada, I'm trying. So that was the super soul who got me out of bed, who, when I was in the bathroom, who tricked me, to stay a little bit more awake by brushing my teeth. And then saying, you must go, not sleep. What did he say? Not sleeping business, not lazying business. So this is an example, my dear devotees, which I want to give you from my own simple life. As I'm a simple person, I what can I do? Because it's the Lord in the heart who's never lazy in regard to our deliverance. And now he brings, Prabhupada says, the problem is, but although he's constantly trying, we on our side refuse to accept his instructions. So many times in our lives, we know what is right. Harisyam, Rudvik, you know what is right, but you say, not today, please. Not now, later. and in this way, who has given us this knowledge what is right? It's the Lord in the heart who says, from me come knowledge and remembrance. But then also, if he sees we don't want, he gives us forgetfulness so that we don't have constantly a guilt complex in us, you know, and we forget, okay. Nonetheless, although this is the case, he has not become angry. Therefore, he is described here as Bhuri Karunaya, unlimitedly merciful in delivering us from this miserable material condition of life and taking us back home, back to Godhead. My dear devotees, if you have a mobile phone, you please make a note in it 8:3:17 and read this purport. It will really help you in your Krishna consciousness. Should I repeat? 8, what is it? 9 or what? 3, yes. And then verse number 17. Good, you know everything. Yes. So, this is the Lord we are dealing with, and that's why Srila Prabhupada, when he thinks about Radha Madhava and things, he is flooded with tears. He is becoming so emotional and ecstatic in Krishna consciousness that he cannot continue playing his cartels. Everything goes haywire because, yes, this is the mercy of Krishna. There is one very nice verse in the Bhagavatam where you hear a little bit about Krishna's invitation, and I will end with this here. The gopis are talking amongst themselves about Krishna. These are verses which are very, very powerful for those who do Leela Smaranam, you know, meditating about Krishna's pastimes. This is one for those who are in approaching the Lord in the Sakya. Anyways, I don't know if I should speak about these things here. Let me just make it very simple. Oh friends, we know of no vision more perfect than that of beholding the beautiful faces of whom? Radha Madan Mohan, yes. This is from the 10th canto, the Gopi Gita. So it's the gopis who look and they say, we do not know a vision which is more perfect than beholding the beautiful faces of the sons of Brajaraj Nanda's sons. Who are the two sons of Brajaraj? Yes, Ludwig. Balaram and Krishna. Ram and Krishna, yes. As these two sons, surrounded by their friends, enter the forest, herding their cows ahead of them. That's the meditation of the gopis. Ram and Krishna go into the forest of Vrindavan with the cows ahead of them. They hold their flutes to their mouths. And now listen, this is the important part. And glance back lovingly upon the Brajavasis as they depart for the forest. Those who experience this scene are truly blessed. So Krishna, the cows in front of Krishna Balaram, they have their flutes. They are very joyful. They want to play in the forest, of course. But before they go and disappear in the green forest, they look like this around to those who wait in the bank. So those who like Radha, Rama and Krishna, no? Those with a sympathetic heart, it's called in rasa knowledge, sahridayam, they have a heart for this, no? For these scenes, because they have cultivated it, they will experience Krishna's glancing back as he is moving into the forest. They see in the meditation Krishna and Balaram go in the forest, and then they see how Krishna looks back like this and with his eyes invites them to join his pastimes in Vrindavan. When they see Krishna like this, that's the portrait of Krishna which they love to carry in their heart. Krishna's backward glance, and as they they think about this small detail, you may say. They feel in their hearts a will, a sankalpa coming up. Oh, I want to follow one day Ram and Krishna as they move in the forest. And it is said in the scripture, what your sankalpa is, your intention in the heart, that is what you will attain in the next life. The Shastra says like this. So we hear about Krishna's loving dealings with his devotees. We portray this in our heart, the backward glance. Bhuja Prabhu wrote a whole book about this, the backward glance. I mean, he used this as a title. The Lord does not forget us in this world. His backward glance, if you so want, becomes manifested in the Paramatma, who reminds us, hey, psst, get up, you lazy Satchinandan Swami. Go take your shower now and go to see the deities, you know, and like this. And it's up to me to respond and not to refuse to respond. It's up to all of us to respond to the constant invitation which comes to us from the spiritual world. Do you want to hear more about Krishna?
Yes.
Good. This is how our institution is made for this, Krishna consciousness, it's called. No? All of these friends of Krishna, Prabhupada says, seek only to serve him. All the friends, Krishna. Sometimes some of them would rise early in the morning, really early, and immediately go to Krishna's place and wait at the door to see Krishna. When is he coming out? All night they're there. They can't sleep. When can I see Krishna in the morning? They come very early and wait. In the meantime, Krishna is getting dressed by Mother Yashoda. And when she would see a boy standing at the door, she would call him, hey, Vishal, why are you standing there at the door? Come here. So with the permission of Mother Yashoda, this Vishal immediately enters the house. And while Mother Yashoda was dressing Krishna, Vishal would try to help put on Krishna's anchor belts, and Krishna would jokingly, what did Krishna do with it? He always jokes. He would take his flute and strike him. He's a little boy, you know. The little boys do this with their friends. Then Mother Yashoda would call, Krishna, what is this? Why are you teasing your friend? And Krishna would laugh, and the friend would also laugh. Sometimes the Sakas would take care of the cows who were going hither and thither. They would tell Krishna, your cows are going off here and there. And Krishna would thank them. So these are all beautiful, beautiful activities and relationship to Krishna. But our point here is a little simple. Krishna gives us hints, and especially when we are more purified, we can hear these hints. That's why we do things like making kirtan velas. We want to sing uninterruptedly or as much as we can to Krishna, purify our hearts, so that we are not so gross any longer, that we are a little bit more spiritual, perceptive to the Lord who is constantly talking to you. Why don't we make an experiment, all of us? Today, let us see what Krishna will tell to us. Walker, is that a good idea? You might not walk to America. Ooh. Well, we might walk to America, but not to the casino or you know, I don't know, but we all have our casinos in America, you know. May not be a casino, but maybe something else, you know. You hear the Lord, and then if you respond to what the Lord is trying to tell you all the time, you will walk in the proper direction. And then your name is glorious. The Krishna walker, you will be. Hare Krishna. Good. I wish you a wonderful rest of the Kirtan Mela. I will not take questions and answers because you may be one. Then we have 3 minutes to nine. 3 minutes to nine. I've seen Balaram the first. Sorry.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Madam. You mentioned in your book the nectarian portion of the Holy Name, the two types of namabhas. And one is the, like when one is chanting but still hankering after material desires, Pratipimba namabhas. And one is the chai namabhas, when one is chanting with the desire to remove offenses, with a desire to chant purely. I hope I'm skipping the question. So I'm wondering, is like sometimes I know this by theory, and we chant, we set the intention that I want to chant offenselessly,
yeah,
and purely, but still nothing happens. So what does it take to actually chant Chai Namabhas?
Thank you very much. I use I'm trying to study our literature, then I give retreats and lectures, and I constantly need to refresh my knowledge and constantly find new things so that devotees feel inspired to come and listen. But there is something I do personally to overcome this problem which you have said, that you know you should do something, but still you cannot get to doing it. I use a spiritual psychology in this, that is how the mind works and so on. See, the mind has to be given an incentive to think properly. It doesn't do things when there is a theoretical understanding only. It usually acts out of taste. What we like, that we do. What we don't like, we don't do it, even if we know we should be doing it. So, I have a three-step process, and you might like to write them down. It's only three words. I will say this at the end. Now please listen first. First of all, when I see that I am in this nobody's land when I chant either my japa or my kirtan, or in kirtan, when I'm just not connected or not there, then I go to sankalpa, that is the, I form a will or an intention. That's a very powerful process. I'm saying to myself, okay, you're chanting now and you are wanting to become Krishna conscious, so you must now bring your desire in connection with your present activity of chanting. So I have formed the intention, the sankalpa, let me try to give my best. Then the next thing is, I know that there are many parts in me. I don't think that we are just one mind. There are many things, many voices in our mind. I can see this in every one of you, there are very serious parts in you, and there are also parts which are interested in other things. No? You may have an interest in music, for instance, or, and so on, but there is also a part where you want Krishna like anything. So I need to find that part. I need to connect with that and let that speak. Don't we have this when we talk with someone? Sometimes we just gossip, and all of a sudden, gossip, you know what that is? Talk, hot air. Then we notice, my God, I'm wasting this conversation. Where is this going, this conversation? I don't even feel happy any longer in this conversation. I talked so like an ordinary person who reads the newspaper I'm talking. And now, I should try to change something here. We hear this voice, I'm in the wrong movie at the moment. No? Don't we all hear this? It's a voice which says, hey, what are you doing? And then you, if you are experienced, you try to put the conversation in a Krishna conscious direction. And when it is not possible because your conversation partner is not interested, then you say, now I have to do something, you know, and politely excuse yourself from the conversation, politely, so you don't want to hurt anyone, obviously. No, so that part who told you, hey, Balaram, you're wasting your conversation here, you're wasting your time, that's the serious part. And the other one who talks about political developments in the Near East, you know, is the human part more, the Middle East part in you, you know. So this sincere part you have to find, especially when you do japa. You have to hear that voice and follow that voice. And this is called sincerity, speaking in simple Hare Krishna language. You have to be sincere at this moment. But how are you sincere when there are so many things? You go to the sincerity, and then you just try a simple process. Whenever your mind wanders, you pay attention to the holy name. And you will see that these three steps, at least it works for me, sankalpa, sincerity, and intention, whoops, brings me out of the cloud and brings, because Krishna sees that you are trying your best, and he reciprocates in the heart. Hare Krishna. Good, I will end here. Thank you all very much for coming. I wish you a wonderful time. It was, like always, a dream come true to be in your association. We will have to discuss how to avoid the not everything went very smoothly with this Kirtan Mela. I'm aware of this, and we will try to we will certainly correct it wherever there was a mistake. Please forgive those who tried to arrange this Mela for any mistakes which happened. Please forgive me for my mistakes, but it will be better in the future. All the best, and Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.